Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 14th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF's campaign for 14 parliamentary by-elections slated for next month has intensified amid widening fissures within the ruling party.
A week-long third diamond auction in Harare is expected to end Friday at a time exports have taken a major tumble in the troubled mining sector.
With the introduction of the auction system, the better system in the sense that you may get fair value, or you may at least get some value per diamond.
And Chinoy magistrate has acquitted expelled Mashonaland West and former ZANU-PF legislator Temba Mliskwa, who was facing charges of theft and illegal possession of firearms.
The state was fumbling at straws. It really had no case at all. We are happy with the verdict. I still believe in the faith that I have in the judicial service of Zimbabwe. It's still delivering justice.
ZANU-PF's campaign for 14 parliamentary by-elections slated for next month has intensified amid widening fissures within the ruling party. This as President Robert Mugabe left the country today to witness a peace deal in Mali, hardly 3 days after arriving from Russia. According to press reports, ZANU-PF political commissar Xavier Kasukuere has engaged in a war of words with war veterans who accuse him of allegedly trying to forcibly remove President Mugabe from power and imposing a candidate for the Harare East constituency. Kasukuere is quoted in a new Zimbabwe.com article as hitting back, calling some of the war veterans drunkards. At the same time, campaigning for the 5 Bulawayo seats appears to be lukewarm, as only ZAPU and Transform Zimbabwe are slugging it against ZANU-PF among a number of independent candidates. ZAPU is on a door-to-door campaign in the city. In Hurungwe West, ZANU-PF appears to be uncertain that it will wrest the seat from Themba Mliswa, who was fired from the ruling party, judging by the intensity of the campaign there amid widespread reports of violence and intimidation. We spoke to Mliswa to find out how his campaign is going.
The party made a mistake. I mean, for them to have even reached a decision, in fact, it's not the party, it's individuals in the party who believe as they will and believe that Mashonaland West must just be run by the Zulus. No one who's from that area must be a member of parliament or must be a leader. But what they don't realize is that Zimbabwe as a whole is united. And in fact, you see the Zulus in other provinces in Mashingo. So what's the problem with people, Karangas, Samanikas, Bebeles, being in Mash West? And historically, Mash West is an Urungwe, was a Zipra territory, whether you like it or not. So should the Zipra people and families then come and say, we fought for this area, we liberated it, we must now live in this area? No, it doesn't work like that. Pretty clear, because of that background and because of their personal scores that they want to settle with me, they took it a step further. It's not a national issue as far as I'm concerned.
That was former Urungwe West legislator Themba Mliswa on the line with Studio 7 from Harare. In Cholocho, some villagers are accusing Information Minister Professor Jonathan Moyo, a ZANU-PF candidate, of buying votes by constructing 20 boreholes in the district. However, Moyo's campaign manager, Believe Gaule, tells Studio 7 the boreholes are not a campaign gimmick.
There is nothing wrong about drilling boreholes at this moment in time. These people are in need of water in Cholocho, water for their animals and water for themselves. What I can tell you is that if our animals, if we fail to drill boreholes right now, we better start as early as this, because we cannot wait up to after an election. Because ZANU-PF as a government was given the mandate by the people up to 2018. ZANU PF is fulfilling its promises to the people. It's delivering to the people. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't see it as vote buying.
Can you give us an update of the campaign? How is it proceeding? Any cases of violence or intimidation?
No violence at all. Peaceful. We are all over the show. We are campaigning peacefully.
And that was Believe Gawule, Professor Jonathan Moyo's campaign manager, speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Cholocho.
A week-long third diamond auction in Harare is expected to end Friday at a time exports have taken a major tumble in the troubled mining sector. This week, it is expected that an estimated 400,000 carats will be auctioned. Deputy Mines Minister Fred Moyo told Parliament yesterday that diamond exports fell by 34% to 5.9 million carats last year. Moyo said the dip in production was as a result of the depletion of surface alluvial diamonds. Decline in production has led to labor unrest and retrenchments.
Zimbabwe exports diamonds to Dubai and Belgium and also holds local auctions. Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa says the government is currently working on plans to merge diamond mining companies in Marange as part of efforts to enhance accountability and transparency in the mining of the gems. Mbada Diamonds remains the major producer of diamonds, accounting for 1.8 million carats. Kimberley Process focal point person Shamiso Mtisi tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that auctions in Harare are beneficial if not manipulated by buyers.
The marketing of diamonds in Zimbabwe is regulated through MMCZ, which is the Minerals Marketing Corporation of Zimbabwe. So what had happened previously is the diamond mining companies in Marange at one point had actually agreed with MMCZ to market and sell diamonds on their own. And that created a lot of problems in terms of getting significant value, because it was basically the diamond mining companies going to sell their own diamonds. But then, with the introduction of the auction system, I think it's a better system, but it may still need to be strengthened. It's a better system in the sense that you may get fair value, or you may at least get some value out of the diamonds. But at the end of the day as well, if you have bidders who bid low prices for certain parcels of diamonds, or who are interested in certain parcels of diamonds and may connive, I think that will destroy the whole auction system. So basically, the auction system as well is important in the sense that it at least maybe try to erase suspicion of secrecy, lack of accountability. So those issues are important to note. But I'm not saying the whole thing is very, very transparent. What is important is to notice the undervaluation of diamonds.
We understand from the Deputy Minister that Zimbabwe's diamonds fell by 34% to 5.9 million carats last year. Are you surprised by this decline?
Because the diamond mining companies have been saying they have exhausted their areas where the alluvial diamond was being mined. And they have not invested. What it means is they have not invested in production of kimberlite diamonds, which are found in the rocks or underground.
That was Kimberley Process Certification Scheme focal point person for Zimbabwe, Shamiso Mtisi, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Mutare.
A Chinoy magistrate has acquitted expelled Mashonaland West and former ZANU-PF legislator Themba Mliskwa, who was facing charges of theft and illegal possession of 6 firearms. In his judgment today, Felix Mawadza said the state failed to prove that Mliskwa stole and possessed the firearms at his spring farm near Karoi Town. He said key witness Stedfine Mashiri was not supposed to be used by the state prosecutor as he was facing the same charges. Mliskwa's lawyer, Musindo Hungwe, was happy about the outcome of the case, saying justice has been properly served.
It is nothing short of what we expected. If you recall from the outset, we intimated that the state was fumbling at straws. It really had no case at all. This has just been confirmed. All the evidence that was led in court pointed in another direction, totally as opposed to the accused person. Mr. Mliswa has intimated from the outset that he was an innocent man and he was just being victimized and vilified, and this has been proven. So we are happy with the verdict. I still believe in the faith that I have in the judicial service of Zimbabwe. It's still delivering justice.
That was Musindo Ungwe, a lawyer representing former ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mliswa. The former Urungwe West Member of Parliament is expected to contest the forthcoming parliamentary by-election in the constituency left vacant following his recall by President Robert Mugabe's party. He was accused of allegedly supporting a ZANU-PF group, which the party claimed wanted to topple the president in its elective congress last December.
Health Services Board Chairman Love Mombengeranwa says some nurses who boycotted night shifts in Zimbabwe demanding increased allowances are now back at work. In an interview on the sidelines of a one-day scientific day convened in the country by Medicine Sans Frontiers, also known as Doctors Without Borders, Mbengeranwa said without elaboration, the government has managed to set aside funds for nurses' allowances.
The nurses' strike has been amicably solved. It's over. They had a point in the sense that the night duty allowance was a pittance. It was very low. $7 per night, considering what they do, was too little. So we managed to get something from Treasury for them. Now, depending on grade, they are being paid upward from between $50 to $70 per month, not per night, per month. So we still feel it's not enough, but you all know the financial environment in which we are operating. The government is willing to improve the resources being made available.
The nurses downed tools a week ago, saying the $3 they were getting after working for 7 days was a mockery to their profession. They indicated that they initially demanded to be paid by government $150 per 7 day night shift, but later settled for $70. Representatives of the Zimbabwe Nurses Association were not readily available for comment. Mbengeranwa further dismissed the reports that some top health officials abused the funds set aside for paying these allowances. Meanwhile, health experts told the one-day scientific day that medical practitioners are still struggling to find better ways of treating cancer, AIDS, tuberculosis, Ebola, and other diseases.
An international organization has partnered with 9 African women artists, including Zimbabwe's Selma Mtukudzi, to raise awareness of the high rate of poverty among women. One is an international campaigning and advocacy organization of more than 6 million people fighting to end extreme poverty and preventable diseases. The organization and the artists launched a song dedicated to end poverty among women last night at Zimbabwe's Book Cafe. Selma Mtukudzi speaks to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye about this launch.
The aim is to speak to people in governments all over Africa to get them to change their policies to policies that favor women are what we're looking for, because we realize that poverty is affecting women more than men. And so we believe that when a woman is empowered, the whole nation is empowered, because a woman has got so many responsibilities. Women are the ones that are the heart of every family, every household.
So what do you think your role is as women artists that were chosen from Africa, including Zimbabwe?
Our role is female artists. There was a number of us, one from Mozambique, another from South Africa, Nigeria, Gabon, Tanzania. We all came together, and we are supposed to be loudspeakers. This song that we recorded in the video is supposed to help push this message that we're trying to put across to the relevant people. Getting our voices in there is us hoping that we as female artists, as celebrities, we get their attention and hopefully make a change in each and every country. And
give us a snippet of your song that you are singing on this campaign. I know there are lots of artists that are involved, but your part.
That was Selmo Mtukudzi, the daughter of Zimbabwe's internationally acclaimed music superstar Oliver Mtukudzi, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Meanwhile, ONCE Africa Executive Director Dr. Sipho Moyo says the launch in Harare is part of a campaign that will be held throughout Africa, targeted at influencing leaders to refocus their international development agenda and empower women to help eradicate poverty. The ONCE campaign slogan is running under the slogan, "Poverty is Sexist." Dr. Moyo tells us more.
We launched the campaign Poverty is Sexist in Harare and also launched the song called Strong Girl. And the song is a musical collaboration of amazing artists, singers from, you know, five or six different African countries. And it's really a rallying cry to the world leaders to put in place the policy interventions that will help to empower women and girls, and essentially end extreme poverty. And here's the thing. From everything we know, poverty will not end unless and until girls and women have been empowered to reach their full potential. So from that point of view, it's actually the economically smart thing to do. If we're going to advance our economies, we cannot do that. We cannot grow African economies while leaving half of the population behind. In Zimbabwe, we would sell more. The music collaboration is just one piece of a bigger picture.
Dr. Moyo, why has one organization decided to do this particular campaign at this particular time? What are you hoping to get out of this?
What we're really looking for is the attention of the policymakers, the world leaders, particularly the African leaders, as they go towards the summit in June, to really start to refocus the attention of the world, really, to the need to empower women and girls.
That was ONCE Africa Executive Director Dr. Sipho Moyo speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at the impact of a visit to Zimbabwe by American envoys.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
Rival army factions battled for control of Burundi's capital on Thursday, a day after Major General and former intelligence chief Godefroy Niyombare launched a coup attempt while the president was outside the country.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has welcomed Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi to his family's ancestral hometown for a visit expected to further boost diplomatic and economic ties.
The Taliban claimed responsibility Thursday for an hour-long attack on a guest house in the Afghan capital that killed 14 civilians, including several foreigners.
U.S. investigators are trying to determine why a passenger train was traveling at more than twice the posted speed limit before it crashed in Philadelphia, but the lawyer for the train's engineer said today he suffered a concussion in the accident and can't recall what happened.
U.S. President Barack Obama and senior officials from six Gulf nations are continuing their summit Thursday on issues in the Middle East, including a potential nuclear deal with Iran and the fighting in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Libya.
And a legislation that would end the U.S. National Security Agency's massive collection of telephone records of ordinary Americans has been overwhelmingly approved by the House of Representatives.
At two American envoys are in Zimbabwe engaging business executives, representatives of civil society organizations, and state officials. Deputy Assistant Secretary for African Affairs, Dr. Shannon Smith, and Stephen Feldstein, Assistant Secretary in the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights and Labor, have already told government officials that the America is not happy about continuing human rights violations in the country. The two say they specifically informed government officials that America is concerned about the disappearance of the leader of Occupy Africa Unity Square, Itai Dzamara, who has been missing for more than 2 months. He was allegedly abducted by state security agents, a claim that has been dismissed by the government as baseless. Occupy Africa Unity Square is calling for the resignation of President Robert Mugabe. It accuses of failing to properly run Zimbabwe, currently facing serious economic challenges. The U.S. has maintained targeted sanctions against President Robert Mugabe and his inner circle, accusing them of human rights violations and allegedly rigging elections. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo reached Dewa Mavinga, Human Rights Watch senior researcher and Africa specialist at Robert F. Kennedy Center for Justice and Human Rights, Jeff Smith. Smith says the visit to Harare comes at a critical time as the U.S. Congress is preparing to hold a hearing on Zimbabwe in the near future.
The fact that the U.S. government sent these two people as well as their staff to Zimbabwe for this visit speaks very highly, I think, and it comes at a very good and critical time. It also comes in light of recent news that the U.S. Congress is actually holding a hearing on Zimbabwe next month. So there is definitely an increased interest in what's happening in Zimbabwe, because I think, you know, one of the issues that me and many others have talked about for a long time is that Zimbabwe is the, to my mind, even more than South Africa, is the tipping point in the region.
And Mr. Mavinga, the relationship between the U.S. and Zimbabwe and how that can be better mended. Your reaction?
One way clearly that Zimbabwe is missing of improving its relations with the U.S. would be to ensure that there is good governance, the respect for the rule of law, and human rights respect. So things like the recent disappearance of activist Itai Dzamara, or the political violence that's escalating in the Burundi West and all other things do not in any way improve the relationship with the U.S.
Mr. Smith, speaking yesterday, the diplomats spoke on that issue of human rights, as Mr. Mavinga's pointing out, particularly the disappearance of Itai Dzamara. What's your take there?
Dewa brings up some excellent points. Of course, we all know about the disappearance of Itai Dzamara. You also have an increase of violence in the lead-up to next month's by-elections, particularly Temba Mliswa and Irungwe West. Violence has been inflicted on him and his supporters. You have village headmen that have been abducted, that have been beaten by ZANU-PF supporters. And this is very worrying. For a while, the Mugabe government and the police, under their direction, you know, followed the rules, and they put on a good game face for the international community, somehow trying to demonstrate that there is some semblance of respect for the rule of law in the country. But we've definitely seen a revert back to this overt violence that is very, very worrying, not only for the by-elections next month, but for the national elections that are coming up several years from now. And the U.S. delegation made no secret their concern about that. They met very publicly with human rights activists and civil society activists yesterday during a town hall meeting. And DAS Feldstein had some very serious and very strong remarks and concerns about the current human rights situation that many would argue is deteriorating.
And Mr. Mavinga, there was a town hall meeting yesterday. Does this help or hurt those who are working in Zimbabwe, looking at the standpoint of what ZANU-PF might see when statements like this are made?
It does help a lot, because the tendency has been that the Zimbabwe regime has always wanted to rubbish, you know, U.S. involvement and to dismiss it as being a focus on regime change. So it is important that the public is fully aware of the important contributions that is done by the U.S. government in terms of support to health, support to agriculture, and to have very senior officials come on the ground and speak in solidarity with the people of Zimbabwe and highlight, you know, those kind of things that local groups in Zimbabwe are fighting for and are trying to achieve in terms of human rights respect. So I would say it was a very good move, and that unfortunately the government of Zimbabwe appears to be so short-sighted that it is frequently shooting itself in the foot by failing. terms of the obligations arising from its own constitution.
And Mr. Smith, moving forward, will the U.S. maintain their stance of sanctions until they see what they would like to see from Zimbabwe?
This is documented for a long time. The United States, you know, even recently, Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, said, you know, it's an action for action policy. And once the Mugabe government starts demonstrating more respect for basic human rights, the current U.S. policy is going to remain in place. But it's also important to remember that these are targeted sanctions. They apply to only 113 Zimbabwean individuals, and I believe 70 entities if you look at the most updated list. And I think the United States has not been very good in counteracting the Mugabe Zanu-PF propaganda that, you know, this is an embargo on Zimbabwe, and it hasn't been trading with Zimbabwe. It's keeping Zimbabwe out of international financial institutions, which obviously is not all true. And I think we also have to remind folks that since 1980, since independence in Zimbabwe, the U.S. has provided over $2 billion in assistance to Zimbabwe.
That was Africa specialist at Robert F. Kennedy Center for Justice and Human Rights, Jeff Smith, speaking here in Washington, D.C. You also heard from Dewama Vinga, Human Rights Watch senior researcher in London.
Reacting to the two envoys' visit to Harare, ZANU-PF activist and political commentator Maurice Ngwenya told Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo that the visit will not change the relationship between the two countries as long as they don't drop targeted sanctions. Ngwenya speaks about this and the missing leader of Occupy Africa Unity Square, Itai Dzamara.
If the whole U.S. envoy could come here to discuss the disappearance of one little known Itai Dzamara, then it's very unfortunate for a government to stand reserved on such an issue simply because that issue got so much media attention. But that does not mean that whatever happens to citizen of Zimbabwe, Itai Dzamara, can be condoned. Even the government at the highest level condemned that. Indeed, I also do sympathize with the family.
But of course, the envoy itself is in Zimbabwe to deal with other matters, especially engaging with Zimbabwe on some views of economic development, education, agricultural assistance.
Well, my view is the USA has realized that Zimbabwe is a very important or very strategic country because it is endowed with so much resources. Therefore, they have realized that Zimbabwe is strengthening its ties with China, which is a very big economic power listed globally. And of late, they've also realized that Zimbabwe has made huge efforts in cement trade talks and bilateral agreements with Russia. Therefore, they are trying frantically to also get involved in dealing with Zimbabwe economically so that they are not left out. I think it's a frantic effort, really, to try and be also relevant in the economic development in Zimbabwe.
That was Maurice Ngwenya, a ZANU-PF activist and political commentator, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7's live talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Forum will be talking with experts and you, the listeners, about attempts being made to eradicate poverty amongst women.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
ZANU-PF's campaign for 14 parliamentary by-elections slated for next month has intensified amid widening fissures within the ruling party.
A week-long third diamond auction in Harare is expected to end Friday at a time exports have taken a major tumble in the troubled mining sector.
And a Chinoy magistrate has acquitted, expelled Mashonaland West and former ZANU-PF legislator Temba Mliswa, who was facing charges of theft and illegal possession of 6 firearms.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.